I'm sure you've heard somebody say, or maybe you yourself have also said it, that I'm not a saint. And what we mean by that, of course, is I'm not perfect. And we usually use it as an excuse for what we're doing. But sometimes excuses also show a temptation. And that is a temptation to say that while most people are saved by grace, and that might include me, there are some really good people, the saints, who do things that count for something before God. I'm not a saint. I need some leeway. I need some forgiveness. But what they do, the truly great things, those are good and right and holy. And so they can, at least somewhat, stand before God on the basis of what they have done. Paul is responding to a thought just like this in our epistle reading from Romans chapter 4. Because in the previous chapter, in Romans chapter 3, Paul showed that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None are righteous, he says, because all have sinned, but we are justified through faith. We are made righteous in the sight of God through Jesus Christ, his Son. You would think that would be as clear as day. But some of his readers, especially the Jews, would be tempted to say, well, okay, but what about Abraham? I mean, are you saying that everything that he did, all the great things that he did for God, count for nothing? Are we going to say that God doesn't love him at least a little bit because of the things which he has done? After all, think about all the great things he did. He left his home, everything that he knew, simply because God told him. He was circumcised at 99 years old simply because God told him. And he was even willing to sacrifice his son Isaac simply because God told him. Surely these things count for something, right? The truly great things that people do have to count for something before God. But in reality, Christians, we are tempted to make much of what Abraham did or what other great people do, because in reality, I also want to make much of what I do. Our sinful nature wants to make these things count. I mean, isn't that how the world works, after all? If I do something, I gain something. If I don't do anything, I don't get anything. That's just how life is. So surely it must be the same thing with God. Surely what I do has to count for something. I mean, sure, God is gracious. Sure, God makes up the difference when I can't. He kind of gives me extra credit, as it were. But what I do has to count for something, even if it's just the little tiniest bit before God. If what Abraham did counts, then what I do counts too, even if it's not quite the same. But Paul points us to the Scriptures. He says in verse 3, "For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Paul is quoting the words of Genesis 15, verse 6. And there in Genesis 15, God had come to Abraham in a vision, and he was making to him very great promises. God promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations, even though he was still childless. God promised that he would have offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven, even though his body was old and worn out. Humanly speaking, it was impossible. How could a man without children possibly become the father of nations? It just doesn't seem like it's going to happen. But Abraham believed God. He didn't ask how this might be possible. He was not worried about how it might happen. He simply trusted in the Lord. If God said it, it would happen. It was as simple as that. Didn't matter how, didn't matter when, God promised that it would come to pass, and that was good enough. And it was this trust, this faith that Abraham had that was counted to him as righteousness, just as it is also for us. Well, what about all the great things that he did then? What about all of those great works? Does this mean that they're somehow not important, that they aren't great at all? Well, not at all, Christians. They are still truly great, but they are things which flowed forth from his faith. God did not love him more because he did them. He did them because he loved God. Abraham left his home, his family, and everything that he knew, not because he was trying to impress God, as if God would declare him righteous because he made such an enormous sacrifice, but rather because of the trust which he had in the Lord. Because what else but faith would lead someone to leave behind everything and to go to a place without knowing where you were going to end up, trusting only in the Lord to guide you there? And it was faith which led Abraham to do this. Faith in God who would not fail him. As we hear in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And by faith, again, Abraham was circumcised at 99, not because he was trying to impress God, as if God would love him more because he did something so painful in his old age. Rather, he did it because of faith. He trusted in the promise that God would give him a son through his wife Sarah, even though she was well past the age of bearing children. Abraham did this because he rejoiced in the promises of God, and it led him to submit to God's will in this thing along with all his house. And Abraham was prepared to offer up his son Isaac, to sacrifice him in obedience to God's command, not because he was hoping God would be impressed by his willingness to give up something so dear to him, but because he trusted in the promise that he would become the father of many nations, even if his son Isaac was dead. He believed that God could still keep his promises, even in death. Again, we hear in Hebrews 11, he considered that God was able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. It was faith that led Abraham to do these things. And it was faith that made him righteous before God. To put it a little bit differently, Christians, his works were truly great. But even those works were proofs of his faith. Faith is like a tree, and works are like fruits. The tree comes first, and the fruits follow after, and not the other way around. So it is that faith comes first, faith in what God has done, and faith in what he has said, and from this faith comes forth everything that we do, even for a great man like Abraham. He, like us, is saved in only one way, through a living faith in God who justifies the ungodly, trusting that our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ, his Son. Now let us remember, of course, that faith and works always do go together. The tree of faith comes first, and the fruit of works comes after, but the two are never separate from one another. You can't have a tree of faith without producing good works. A faith like that is dead and is no faith at all. This is what James means when he says, talking about Abraham being prepared to sacrifice Isaac. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. If I truly believe the promises of God, if I truly have faith that I am forgiven because of what Jesus has done for me, then I'm going to act differently. I'm going to think differently. I'm going to speak differently than I did before, without fail. Faith changes everything. But faith always comes first. And faith is always a gracious gift of God alone. I am saved not because of what I have done. Even as a Christian, it would never be good enough. But I do the things that I do because I am saved. Saved through faith in Jesus Christ, who has given himself for me so that I might live. To him alone be all glory. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who justifies the ungodly through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, do not count our sins against us, but forgive us for his sake alone. In his name we pray. Amen.